It's very rare these two voices cross the streams or join in a stream. This particular stream being my Audioboo account, Bernie Goldback, a.k.a. Top Cold, the blowing American. I still don't know what blowing means. Is that
blowing? No, blowing is a, it's an Irish term. Like, if you're not really from Kerry, you're a blowing from Cork. So the winds, as you know, blow here. And like the probably the slight rude compliment or a slight rude adjective to say you're just a blow-in. You're not really here. You're a gypsy, maybe even a traveler. And, well, watch yourself.
Oh, that's pretty cool. There is a story behind. I have no idea what that meant. Yeah, I hear it tagging on the end of your thousands of audio boos and quite a lot of your online content. Where are we stood right now and what does it mean to you?
We're in the middle of what could look like a meatpacking plant on the outside. It's a single, looks like a farmhouse building. It is actually the digital animation production side of the Limerick School of Art and Design in Clonmel along the Ring Road. One side of the road goes towards County Cork. The other side goes to County Waterford, and we're in County Tipperary. And that's where you're stood right now.
And your role here?
I'm a creative multimedia lecturer, which basically means I get to teach people how to write for the web, take it apart, maybe write content for social media, public relations. I do some stuff with customer care and a few other modules we teach that I get confused about involving culture and computing and some lightweight PHP coding.
Wow. And you do a lot of multimedia personally. Do you bring a lot of that to work as well?
Yeah, and the thing is, I get some blowback for that on the other campuses. So the school we're in, the students know they have to create multimedia. It's a creative multimedia degree or digital animation production degree. So they're used to making their stuff, getting critiqued for it, revising it, reimagining it, and maybe promoting it. In other parts of the campus, there's four other campuses of LIT, the parent school. There's real hesitation about doing what we're doing now, to record something without any practice, and then put it up online. That's like offensive almost. So, I get some feedback for trying to integrate the creative process.
Is the way you call it feedback.
Yeah. No, I see, like, one of the advantages of being the senior, that is to say, nearly pensionable member of the staff, is that they know I'm untrainable, and I'll continue to do what I do with feedback that they give me. And, you know, we get a result at the end, which is a powerful way of having the students feel comfortable about what they're doing. And maybe, as I tell them, the only reason I'm really here for more than 10 years like I am is because I want them to earn more money over their life than they could have earned before they showed up, and that money can be taxed and maybe used to pay my pension. So they're doing it. They're creating stuff year on year that they wouldn't have been able to create a year before. I honestly believe we're 2 or 3 years ahead of any other creative multimedia program in Ireland, because we do take the risks associated with the failures that are always going to come if you step too far into a space. So we're risk-taking. We're not necessarily restrained by a syllabus. We follow it. We meet the guidelines set up by the accreditors. But at the end of the day, our guys have showreels. They produce stuff under pressure, and they produce stuff to meet the ruthless expectations of the outside world.
And you, speaking of the outside world, of which I am kind of a part of when it comes to this particular establishment, you must have a little bit of freedom because you've been able to invite me in on a very, very casual brief. You said, come along, don't prepare. I was just going to stand you up in front of a couple of cameras and a group of people and answer some questions, which I absolutely loved. But I was also ever so slightly daunted about not having a deck to fall back on. But if the questions were coming, and they were, there were some really interesting questions from your group here, stuff I've never been asked before. Suddenly, whether it's cue-dependent memory kicks in, and I probably I overshot the time, I know that much. But give me some feedback. How did it go?
No, it went fine. I mean,
fine?
Well, unplussed would be, it went fast, neat, average, friendly, good. That was a mechanism we used when I was going through college. We say, how was the meal? And these are boxes you ticked off, or like middle of the road.
Nice.
No, the key thing is, I had students come in on a day that was difficult. And this is like, we had people get into class here.
There was chaos in Ireland at the moment.
Yeah, a third of the students there didn't have power last night. So, like, I didn't get a chance to shave, and for the women, that's an issue.
An issue for the women if you don't get to shave.
You know, the basics of, like, the hygiene factor was, and they made it. You know, I had a good, there were, this, all the seats were full, and it was a, we got feedback from first through fourth year students that with most of the commentary led by the younger, the less senior students. So how did it go? When I get that kind of feedback during a lecture, it means the lecture got flipped, and I was able to present the high points, but then I got meaningful input coming back on those high points. And that happened.
Yeah, we're both momentarily stunned by technology doing something weird. We've never had this happen before. We're both using beta apps, and I'm still talking, just in the assumption that this is recording. Listen to the sound while I remove the spoffle from the phone and turn it upright to see if this audio boo is recording. It's nice that we can narrate what's going on. There appears to be...
It is
recording, screen, but it went completely blank.
Hey, no worries. But anyway, so the point is that the students were engaged.
Spoffle going back
the,
on.
The lecture flipped like I always want to do them, which, of course, if you take the deck away from it, it has to flip. And then you got one question after another, while being illustrated by animators who had no idea what you're trying to talk about, and questions down a space that is emerging, I think, across all colleges, which is, I don't trust that social media influencer telling me that I should have. I don't know. It's like thinner ice than ever before. Why are you embracing this? And what happens if the rug gets pulled out from under you? And there's a really telling question sequence from people who are going to make a run at it, cutting their own way of life in creative space. And they're actually asking the question, is it really worth going down this social media minefield when I might get a better result just by working in a silo?
And there are 1,001 different ways that you can respond to that. And I was very impressed with your keeping out of the discussion, because I'm sure you have more than one or two opinions. But my explanation of how this is a tool like any other, and if I give you a hammer, I trust you not to go over there and break a window and maybe do something practical with it. This is no different. And if you are worried about what you're going to say, your filtering of your own voice should come from you initially. Yeah. And your network will hopefully carry you through what is acceptable and not acceptable to share online. But I know for a fact that I have shared an awful lot of stuff which hasn't been socially acceptable, and that's where a lot of the value has been. But that's more about the emotional narrative, not me being aggressive or hateful or trolling in any way, which it's not good in your everyday life. So why do it online?
No, I know. And that's so anyway, back to what you're saying, how to go, that highly charged debate surfaced. It's been, it surprised me this year when I've watched it happen. It's more, it's deeper, as deep as what came out in the cross-questioning you got. It was good to happen. I think these are the same debates that primary school and secondary school teachers are having about how to guide students into a safer zone of the internet when they themselves, the teachers, are suspect. They're suspecting. They're suspicious of that
the
space.
The teachers are suspects.
Yeah. No, well, the teachers aren't swimming in those waters, yet their kids are. And, you know, these are important philosophical questions. And, you know, you need to know the tools and need to know, like what I tell my kids, well, I can't actually talk to a 2-year-old to understand this, but like I tell these young students is that, you know, it's not, you shouldn't look at it as being something you just sit there and absorb. It's a canvas. You should use it. And, you know, paint on it, you know, take it apart, make another layer on top of it. Don't just sit there and consume it. Use the canvas. And for the most part, I think 80% of students come through here do that. They spend time to produce something worth commenting on. They share it into a community that gives them props or revises their expectations of greatness, and life goes on. But it is really hard getting them to that first step when they're surrounded by students who are saying, be careful, and sharing got me in trouble. And it's an absolute statement. You know, sharing got me in trouble will probably get you in trouble.
I was saying I crashed a car once, I'd stay away from those dangerous machines.
Yeah. No, that's it. You know, I'll remove that problem from my life. I'll walk. And I don't think you can go through, I know you can't enter the workforce with a naked social profile. You have to have something that identifies you as being real. It'll get you in trouble everywhere. I mean, just listen, any spy movie I watch, say, geez, the guy didn't exist before 1986, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a Breaking Bad sequence I'll never forget. Same thing. They're like, you know, what happened? Where'd he come from? And that moment of pause will cost you a job sometimes.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me over. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been an adventure all the way you know, from arriving through cataclysmic weather with trees and flags flying off flagpoles and motorcyclists getting blown over, and arriving at an amazing B&B last night where I was treated so incredibly well, super friendly. The name of the B&B?
It's Peggy O'Neill's B&B, Golden Road Cashel.
And, you know, he put a generator on just so that I could top my phone up before bed. And the bonus was the Wi-Fi kicked in. And I thought, what more could I possibly want? You know, the town is in blackout. As far as the eye could see out of the window, yeah, there was this little hub of power. I could have done without it, though, because the hospitality was warming enough and entertaining enough. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed yet another trip to this part of the world, and I hope I can come back again.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, Christian. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. And you were listening to me documentally. I never normally say that, because I'm hoping if you're clicking on this, you've found that. But more importantly, Top Gold. Top Gold on Twitter and all the internet.
All good social networks.
Yeah. I'm now going to report the bug of the phone going silent because it's gone, black. So I've now got to add my fingerprint to my iPhone, which you are now listening to click the pause button, which also means stop.